Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the D&D show. Guess what, guys?
Hey.
What?
What?
Tonight is episode 10.
Wow. 10 weeks.
10 weeks.
Yeah. God, 10 weeks. That's crazy.
It is crazy since all of this started. That's absolutely, I'm amazed, actually. I think this is probably the longest running D&D group I've ever had.
Yeah.
This is because I don't have to go anywhere to do it.
That's it.
Yeah, in my room. Sometimes for me.
Yeah, brilliant. So thank you, you guys, especially like players. You know, fuck the listeners and the people in Twitch. Like, thank you very much for giving me something to do every Tuesday evening. No, yeah, 10 weeks. It's been brilliant. It's been fun. So that's absolutely amazing. That's hey, it's 10 more, I suppose.
Yeah, just turn Twitch off.
No, not at all. Not at all. I'll get to the Twitch chat in a minute because we do have a few of our regulars in there, of course. But we'll come to them. So yeah, welcome to the D&D show. We are your weekly British role playing stream podcast, whatever you want to call us. We are currently playing D&D 5e. Though maybe in the future we might go into something different. And we're currently playing through the official module was released by whatever the company are called, Wizard of the Coast, The Lost Mines of Phandelver.
Luke, if I finally learn the rules to this game and then you change it, I'm going to be fuming.
Mate. We'll see how we feel when we finally finish this adventure. But it'd be cool to adventure. I've been itching, dying to play some Starfinder for like about a year
like
or so
the
now.
Sound of that Starfinder.
Yeah, it sounds good.
It's not
D&D in space, man. Got guns and lasers.
Oh, okay. RPGs will have similar rules, don't worry, Sean.
Yeah.
It's still like it's similar but different. Anyway, so we'll see. We'll see. Let's get through the next 10 weeks first. So yeah, D&D, that's what we're doing tonight. So thank you everyone who is here. So tonight I am joined. Oh, who am I? I am Luke. I am your GM, your DM, your host, whatever you want to call me. Lukey baby, whatever. I am joined by the usual crowd, Lisa.
Hello.
Our resident half elven bard. And then we've got Sean.
Hello.
He's our, gnome dwarf.
Sure.
Slash ball guzzling.
Ball guzzling.
Dick
ball
choking.
Ball guzzling druid.
Oh, there's a new t-shirt.
Ball guzzling druid, yeah, that's weird. With a duck on it. That is excellent.
Oh, well, I've already got that.
I can buy that.
I can't wait till we start making merch.
What's this space, eh, Sean? We've set up a merch page. You're just designing some, aren't you?
Yeah, at some point.
So well, maybe we can get some t-shirts for sale and then maybe we can pay for that Zencaster subscription.
Absolutely. We'll see how it holds up tonight.
Cool. Gavin, sir, how are you doing?
Evening. I'm good.
Evening.
Yeah.
Gavin is our swashbuckling dwarf. And James, hello, sir.
Yes. Hello there. How are you doing?
I'm very well. I didn't forget your name. It's just because I'm looking at the Twitch stream and it doesn't say, well, it does say your name, but it says Scapes. So I went to say Scapes.
That's fine.
Scapes.
I don't mind.
Justice Scapes. Human Paladin.
Justice. I am Justice.
Our resident tax collector.
Yes.
Cool.
The blood tax.
Yeah, come for final payment.
You just come up with it so quickly, James. I love it.
So here we are.
I was impressed.
you are really quick. So that's what your missus says.
Apart from my leg.
Yeah. Apart from your leg. Well, I don't. You know what? I was all raring to go, and now I'm like, oh shit! What do I say? How do we do this again? What are we doing here? What are we playing? What are you drinking? I have got tonight. I have got Jim Beam and.
That
ginger beer, thank you. My wife had to remind me.
Very nice. I like whiskey and ginger.
It's nice.
I thought that was the glass speaking.
Sorry, I do apologize. I've already had a can of bitter tonight and I'm already half gone. Cheap day. Anything happened this week? We had a little conversation a moment ago, didn't we, before we started streaming. Shops have opened here in the UK. That was a big fucking mistake. People camping outside Primark.
Yeah.
Apparently it's all fine now.
The people that are going to camp outside Primark, deserve to be diseased, yeah. is all I'm saying.
Exactly. Yeah.
It's not that. It's just like, what sort of person thought, oh, I'll go Primark on the first date? It's just like knowing how busy. I'm surprised anyone went at all.
Did anyone see the woman who went to John Lewis to buy two Angora sweaters and a Mulberry bag?
No.
It was like, she was on this morning. It was like, yes, I needed to go get my Angora sweaters. It's like, it's fucking June. Why do you need Angora sweaters?
For well, it's cheap in June,
Bev. Oh, yeah, of course now, yeah. But Jesus.
Sensible.
Right. Oh, a coronavirus or an Angora sweater, I don't know.
Cool.
Well, other than that, be safe.
She's probably got Booper as well.
Probably, yeah. If she can afford like a grand and a half on a Mulberry bag, jeez.
She's got her own doctor indoors.
I mean, anyone that can afford to shop at John Lewis in general has just got too much money.
True.
the only thing John Lewis is good for is when you go to Lakeside, and it's only because it's the best place to park. You can just walk out. Like. cool. Yeah, other than that, UK's been pretty boring. This week's been all right. We went to the beach the other day. That was nice. Walked a dog down the beach. It was really quiet. Went to Wharton on the Naze. It was really quiet. It was nice.
Yeah, I might be popping up there Friday.
I love Wharton.
Yeah, it was all right. One of my mates lives down in Essex, and he posted a picture on, or he sent me a picture on Saturday of, he was at Frinton, and it was dead. There was not a soul in sight. It was lovely, really quiet. So I was like, oh, we'll go. So on Sunday, we drove down to Frinton, and there was just mobs of people everywhere. So I was like, fuck this. Mm-hmm. And then it was like, let's check out Wharton. And we got to the main seafront of Wharton, and again, there were just literally like biker gangs and proper like West Ham thugs everywhere. And was like, oh, well, the Naze is just like 30 seconds up the road. Let's try there. And the Naze was nice and quiet. So, but again, people just hanging out on streets, hanging outside of pubs. All the shops were open, all the little knick-knack, crappy seaside shops. And it was just like, what are you people doing?
My folks live in Holland-on-Sea, so I'm visiting them on Friday. Mm-hmm. First time I've seen them since lockdown. So just going for a little trip to the back garden.
Nice.
Yeah.
You're good. So, I mean, as long as you're sensible with it, it's one thing you go to the back garden. My wife has, truthfully, she's gone out a couple of times around a mate's house, but she goes in through the side gate into the back garden, they stay apart, and she's going out again on Saturday. And as long as you're sensible with it, but meeting up in massive, literally on the drive home again, like through Wharton, and I don't know if you've ever been there, but it's like massive wall with seats and ice cream parlours, and literally there was just, there was no spaces. Everyone was just sat there next to each other, and it's just like...
It's almost as if people have stopped... Like, just because things are opening and whatever else, it's just, like, I think I was in a garage, it weren't that long ago, filling up and went in, and this woman just made a beeline for me, where I had to jump out of the way, and I was sort of stood still.
Yeah.
So what are you doing? It's like, and the worst thing was, she was, late 60s, early 70s. And it's like, well, you're the one that's at risk.
Yeah,
you
should have coughed on her.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, that's the best. You know, if you go anywhere and people get near you, start coughing. This Seems is it. Out.
Yeah, but enough about that. Anyway, world is slightly returning to normal. He says, actually, there was like all those fucking white supremacists in London on the weekend. That's not returning to normal at all.
As soon as the football's back on, they'll be preoccupied. It's fine.
World's
that's why we're here instead of there.
So there you go. I don't know. Let's get cracking. In the chat, we have, I said I was going to come to, we've got the usual crowd. Thank you very much, guys. It's such, it means so much that you come here week after week. We've got Psych Consent, we've got Flak30, and we've got Lecky Mac on, who are chatting away. But apparently, we've got six viewers at the moment. So the other three who are welcome. Fantastic. Thank you for joining. Please feel free to drop a message in the chat and say hi. But we'll see how we get on tonight. So nothing really happened last week too much. It was a bit of a quiet episode. And it's something that I've been thinking on all week, actually, something that's been not bothering me. But I mean, I don't think it was meant in any kind of malicious way last week, but there was a comment in the Twitch chat last week about how we haven't done much, or it was a bit slow or boring or something. And it did get to me a little bit, I'm afraid to say, and only because you start doubting yourself, don't you? You start thinking, oh, shit, am I doing a crap job or whatever? And I've been thinking about it, and actually I was talking to, I think it was Flak30 I was talking to today, actually, this morning on Twitter, and was talking about it's just how the game goes sometimes. Like, one thing I've said right from the get-go with you guys is that the game for you and for us and for me comes first, and then the podcast and everything is completely second. Like, and I'm not going to try and do a fake show where, you know, I try my best to railroad you into a script and encounter after encounter to keep the action going. And I'm not going to try, you know, we're not wannabe actors or stand-ups, and I listen to, I have in the past listened to some, well, apart from you, actually you are, but like, I've listened to some podcasts in the past where everyone on the show wants to be famous, and so they're way over the top to, and they overproduce it, and it sounds fake, and I don't like those type of shows. So for me, it was always a case of, let's do a real show, how just some mates having fun and playing the game. And in the game, sometimes you go shopping, sometimes you go and you buy some swords, and that's what the game is. So you know, like, and Lecky Mokion has just said it, sometimes it's just an evening of cozy chit chat, and it's meant to be a fun first of all, and that's absolutely it. So the fact that you guys had a good time last week is all I really care about. So if this, sorry to say, if it's not your type of show and you want to listen to people who are constantly cracking jokes and doing funny voices, then it's the wrong show, I'm afraid. If you want a bit of a real show,
you want people that are funny, do voices,
go somewhere else. We're not funny, we're just gonna slag off Tories and that's about it,
and good role play and things like that. Well, you're in the wrong place.
So anyway, so yeah, like, it's been bothering me, but tonight is going to be, I think it's tonight's gonna be a bit better. I'm gonna treat you guys because it is the 10 week anniversary, and I'm gonna do the catch up for you guys. So
nothing happened.
Thank you, God.
Because nothing happened. I'm gonna do like a real kind of recap of where we're at in the story. So are y'all all ready?
I am.
Yeah.
Sitting comfortably.
Lovely. Yes. Okay. So we started off, we did like a little prelogue to the adventure, something that I was inspired by, something I'd read online a while ago, which isn't actually in the book. So we started off just in the meetup before, in Neverwinter City on the Sword Coast. The book suggests that you just start on the road and you're already a group and you're already with the wagon. And I was like, well, let's just do a bit before then and put some kind of setting in place and a little bit of a reason as to why. So we started off, you'd already all kind of knew each other from little tiny jobs that you'd done. And a gentleman by the name of Gungeon Rockseeker had got you all together and contracted you to guard him and a wagon load of supplies down to the little town of Phandalin. And you're going to be carrying some mining supplies because him and his brothers had found this ancient mine called in Wayback, a place called Waybacker Cave, which it's a long lost mine of sort of magic and mithril and gold and stuff. And on the night that you all met up for the kind of the pre-night kind of plan meeting and stuff, you'd found that there was a traitor in the mist in one of his bodyguards, whose name I made up and I forget, and it turned out to be a doppelganger. So him being all worried because his brothers were already down in Phandalin, he left with a knight of the Lord's Alliance called Sildar to go and make sure his brothers were there, and you had to wait behind to get all the supplies ready to leave. They did that. On the next day, you left and you found an ambush site by goblins, and that what looked as though had been the fact that Gundren and Sildar had been ambushed and kidnapped. You followed the trail and you found a little goblin hideout and you just completely demolished it. Rescued Sildar in there, but no sign of Gundren. You then went to Phandalin. And when you got to Phandalin, you didn't really have any leads. Like, what do we do? We don't know where Gundren is. There's this mention of this Cragmore Castle, but who knows where that is? No one's ever heard of it. So while Sildar kind of rests up and does his own little investigating, he's looking for a fellow member of the Lord's Alliance called Iarno Albrecht. You kind of mooch around the town and you catch wind of this kind of group of mercenaries, in inverted commas, these ruffians who are shaking up the town and taking kind of money and potentially had murdered and kidnapped people. So you track them, you decide, well, let's go and investigate that. Perhaps it's the only lead we've got, we'll go and deal with that. And again, you went into there and you just completely fucked shit up. Their leader, you hear, is a wizard by the name of Glassstaff, and you go and kind of stumble into his chambers, not realizing that he'd set up a watch in the form of a wizard's familiar, who kind of clued him onto your arrival, so he scarpered and then set the whole entire hideout of Red Brands on you. And there was a massive fight. I think it was like the whole episode, 3-hour long fight where you fought off Red Brand thugs and some bugbears and a Nothic and stuff like that. You completely smashed it. Fast forward from there, you then discover that Glassstaff is none other than Iarno Albrecht.
We've been rescued. Quite well in that,
what's that, mate? Did James say something? No? Okay, I'll carry on. So from there, you then you don't really have any leads other than you find a letter in Glassstaff's chambers from the Black Spider, who you believe is the nefarious villain behind the whole plot. Yes, it is, James.
Oh, James.
Yes, Grandad.
And you report back to Silda. And you don't have any leads, and you're talking...
That is insane. I've got to change that. Shut up.
All right.
I'm really too glad James, if
you,
James
do you just, you just be quiet and sort yourself out and let me finish the exposition. From there, like, you rescued a family from the hideout, who is the family of the woodcutter who was murdered by the Red Brands, and you, talking to some people, you find one, the only lead you've got when you're looking and you're talking to people about, has anyone heard of Cragmore Hassel, where a farmer lady, a little halfling farmer lady, Quellin Alderleaf, who tells you that she's got a friend, a druid, who knows the land like the back of his hand, and if anybody can help you find Cragmore Castle, then he can. So, but unfortunately, just yesterday, he randomly decided that he had to bugger off to the old demolished town of Thundertree up in the north from Thundertree, about 2.5-3 days travel. So if you decide that you're going to track him down and find him. Then we did last week's boring shopping episode. On the way, GM insight behind the curtain, and the ghoul fight, you've killed some ghouls on the way. That was a completely random encounter that I rolled for. I was rolling dice sort of for every day to see if something happened, and it just so happened that in that night you got a fight, and that's about it, really. And then you've been finished off last week arriving in Thundertree.
The fact that the zombies were mentioned?
So I didn't, but yes, no. You were told. You hired some horses from an old knight, Order of the Gauntlet knight, who told you he was part of the original relief mission that helped rescue people from Thundertree 30 years ago. So Thundertree is completely demolished 30 years ago-ish, give or take. Mount Hope now in the north of Neverwinter Woods erupted randomly and basically destroyed Thundertree completely and with the ash clouds that swept over the land, brought with it a plague of these strange zombies down in Thundertree. Yeah. So you've gone all over the map so far. We started up here in Neverwinter and you went down to Cragmore Castle, and then from there you went to Thandalin and you fucked shit up there. And then now you went cross country. So there was a higher risk of you going cross country, of you encountering trouble as well. And now we're up at Thundertree. So there we go. Right. So I'm going to take you over to the Thundertree map. And then I'm going to read some stuff for you.
Ooh, new place.
So, as you approach Thundertree, we kind of did cover this at the end of last week, and the absolute best piece of D&D writing ever. So, gradually, as you approach, the trail becomes an old, overgrown lane winding between dilapidated buildings choked in vines and brush. Ahead of you, in the middle of the settlement, rises a steep hill upon which stands a stone tower with a partially collapsed roof and an adjoining cottage. A dirt road hugs the base of the hill and wends its way between old stone houses, many of which are roofless ruins with interiors open to the weather. Other buildings appear more or less intact, and the whole place is eerily silent. A wooden sign is nailed to a post nearby, and it reads... Danger! Plant monsters and zombies, turn back now.
What is that, telling them to turn back, or we should turn back because there's plants and zombies?
Depends how
I'm confused. Does that mean we're okay because they're not there? They're not going to be in there, are they?
No, they've been told to leave by a sign.
Yeah,
we all exactly. know how zombies are adherent to sight.
You can see on the map. I've placed you in the middle there. So basically, here we go. So
didn't we see a squirrel or something as well?
You did. That's right. Right at the end. The place is eerily quiet. There's no sound. There's no wildlife. You can't hear crickets. You can't hear birds. There's nothing. And you might have questioned that was a little bit strange at first. But then you spot, scurrying across the path and running into a bush, one little grey squirrel. Around you, there are a number of buildings for our audio listeners only. Okay, so as you enter the town, you've got a couple of buildings on the right and one further up on the left, which looks to be some kind of old tavern. So the first building on the right, cowering in the shadow of an old tree, is a crumbled stone cottage with no roof, and there are weeds rampant here. The ruined houses next to that, side-by-side cottages, look as though they might have been the homes of prosperous shopkeepers or well-off farmers in their time. All that remains are collapsed walls and piles of debris from what you can see, and several young trees have grown up in the midst of the ruins. And lastly, the brown horse, a weathered signboard by the door of this large building, shows the faded image of a workhorse holding a flagon of ale. The building is sagging and dilapidated, but it's more intact than the ruins I just mentioned across the road. What would you like to do?
Well,
I'm going to have to take a wander into town, aren't we?
Can Pox do anything to sense other druids?
No.
I was just saying, yes.
Use the force, Pox.
No, like, you know, like spell them out or something, you know. They're a bit...
What sort of time of day is it, Luke?
So I think from what I remember, you crashed the night in Helmshold, which is was a couple of hours away. So it's probably around lunchish. So it's sort of mid-afternoon, sort of not early afternoon, rather. Middle of the day. Well, it is, however, very cloudy. It's been raining, if you remember. It was raining all the whole travel. There was a storm the night before. It's still very cloudy and overcast at the moment. Everything's wet underfoot. There are muddy puddles in the path. What's left of old kind of cart trails and things like that have gathered into puddles. But at the moment, no rain.
Well, I would think that we would head towards the dry house after all of that travelling in the rain.
Yeah, cool. Let me give you a brief kind of general description of the place. So buildings are either ruined or intact, as shown on the map. Surprise, surprise. Ramshackle stone cottages, otherwise still standing. Wooden doors, windows. So the windows are covered by wooden shutters. However, they do have a 6-inch wide slit, like arrow slit, in all of the shutters on the windows. But that's about it, really, from what you can tell from where you are.
Did you say that the pub was still more intact? As if
it's still a structure. Yeah. Trees average 30 to 40 feet tall around the town, which you can see. And there's loads of brush, large bushes and things like that, like thorns and brambles, like really heavy thickets that you you wouldn't want to willingly kind of try and walk through.
But the road's definitely seems inhabited.
I mean with the road itself, you would see that it's overgrown, you know. I mean, once upon a time it probably would have been gravelled or something, but it's like you know, there's spouts of grass and stuff on there. You're right, you can see that it used to be a pathway.
Right.
I think maybe head to this pub, see if there is any sign of life left inside. That always seems to be where people are, if anywhere. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Can I see that squirrel still?
Squirrel ran away. It kind of ran away and into a bush.
I'm trying to think of anything I can do nature-wise, but I'm not really sure.
Can I sense undead, please? I'll use one of my... I've got sense undead thingamajig. Mm-hmm.
Read the script for me, please. Yeah, I don't know what it does.
Where is it? Divine sense. It is. The presence of strong evil registers on your senses like a noxious odour, and powerful good rings like heavenly music in your ears. Oh, okay, fair enough. As an action, you can open your awareness to detect such forces. Till the end of your next turn, you know the location of any celestial fiend or undead within 60 feet of you that is not behind total cover.
So that sentence right there, you would know this. That means basically if it's behind a wall, you're not going to sense it. So it'd be useful.
Bush.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, it's total cover means if you can't see it, you won't be able to sense it.
What an absolute crap thing. So basically, I can sense undead. Like if I see a zombie, I can sense undead. It might be a mirage.
It's like the psychic basically in Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
What's that?
That the psychic in Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Oh, I'm feeling a B, it. A U.
Oh, yeah. Hello. Great impression, though.
I mean, it could be useful when it's like, you know, something trying to pretend to be alive.
Yeah. Right. So, like, the example it gives in there is.
Don't try and come for me. I'm fine. It's all right.
All right.
The example it gives in that description is like the vampire Count Thrad von Zarolovich. So, like, yeah, if somebody looked normal, alive, human, whatever, you could do that to see if they were actually alive and or undead.
I see.
So, yeah. Okay. I can discern alive people from dead people. That's that should be a fucking given, shouldn't it, really? You know what I mean? Anyway, sorry. Yeah. Let's forget about divine sense anyway.
Should we walk forwards?
Yeah.
If anything, let's just go forward.
Okay.
Into like, going down the path.
Can you please, before you move, roll? Everybody, make me a perception check.
By the way, listeners, we're all using real dice now, pretty much. I think.
No, I'm going to use this.
No, oh, he's using them.
Fourteen. Is it a plus though, isn't it?
Oh.
Yeah, so
you can roll it twice.
Perception. You did roll it twice.
Three.
I'll take your first roll.
Yeah.
18 for me.
18, plus lovely.
3, 14, 17.
Some solid rolls.
So as you're approaching the pub then, and you're going past the turning down to those cottages on the south, you do spot a couple of these strange little fellows.
I knew I should have done this. Bollocks.
Okay, so let me see if I can remember how to do. Did that work?
Ooh, yeah. Groot.
Look at that. I am Groot. Yes, basically, it looks like Groot. It looks like baby Groot, actually, to be precise. Yeah, they're tiny, little tiny fellas. There's two of them down there, but these skittering creature resembles a small, leafless, walking plant. They see you. They don't make any aggressive action towards you. They're kind of hiding amongst the weeds down the bottom there. With a roll of 18 or 17 is high enough to that you've seen them. Kind of curiously looking at you, but then they kind of scuttle off back. They start scuttling off.
Hmm. Hello, little guys. Hello. Oh, no, are they gone?
They take no notice and they kind of are moving away from you, but they're not. Looking at you, they're kind of going back into the bushes.
Got any idea what they are, Puck?
Roll me a nature check.
Me?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. 16 plus 6, 22.
Shitting hell, 22. You know exactly what they are. And not only that, I'm about to drop some fucking knowledge on you.
Yeah, boy, so, I'm ready.
yeah, I'm going to... Blights are awakened plants gifted with the powers of intelligence and mobility. Generally speaking, blights plague lands contaminated by darkness, drinking that darkness from the soil. A blight carries out the will of ancient evil and attempts to spread the evil wherever it can. Legends tell of a vampire named you know all of this. Legends tell of a vampire named Gultheus, who worked terrible magic and raised up an abominable tower called Nightfang Spire. Gultheus was undone when a hero plunged a wooden stake through his heart, but as the vampire was destroyed, his blood infused the stake with a dreadful power. In time, tendrils of new growth sprouted from the wood, growing into a sapling infused with the vampire's evil essence. It is said that a mad druid discovered the sapling, transplanting it to an underground grotto where it could grow. From this Gultheus tree came the seeds from which the first blights were sown. So that's the legend behind it. How much truth is in that, nobody really knows. So basically, wherever a tree or plant is contaminated by a fragment of an evil mind or power, a Gultheus tree can rise to infest and corrupt the surrounding forest. Its evil spreads through root and soil to other plants, which perish or transform into blights. As those blights spread, they poison and uproot healthy plants, replacing them with brambles, toxic weeds, and others of their kind. In time, an infestation of blights can turn any land or forest into a place of corruption. Given how dry they are, twig blights are particularly susceptible to fire.
Well, we better see if there's more around here, shouldn't we? Oh, mind you, sorry, we don't know that, do we?
Well, I'd be like, well, in fact, but and then I repeat everything Luke just said.
Well, that's an interesting story part.
I know, right? How far away are they, Luke?
From where you are? So on the map, each big square is 10 foot, and you can see that you're in like little squares inside. So you've still got 5 foot squares, but for the moment, they are that far, about 40 feet from you. I mean, if you want to, at the moment, like, I haven't moved them too far because, of course, if you wanted to just to hunt them down and kill them, you could do. So it's up
fire,
to you.
Yeah.
So it's up to you whether you want to engage them or not. If you want to, we'll roll initiative. You've seen them, they've seen you, so it's no surprise, but you can just go for them. Lekimakon says, and they are, hold on, what does he say? As I recall, they are quite boring monsters. A bit of meth. I won't tell you everything that he says. They can be quite dangerous. Blah, 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 blah. And he says, and they are evil, so burn them. Yeah, I'm not going to tell you everything he says because there's some metagame in there. But.
I do want to, I'd like to speak to them, if anything, but find out what's going on. But I'm wondering if another thing would be better to, if I go near them, they're going to attack me, aren't they?
I'm just wondering if there might be loads hidden in this city. That's the only thing I'm worried about.
Yeah.
Because this is a basically rubble. This is like there. This is like
you would know, Las Sean, Vegas. Yes. With that amazing 22 nature roll, you would know that they can't speak. They're incapable of speech.
Ah, okay, right, fair enough. Well, I don't think we should chase them into the shrubbery like you said, Scapes.
You do or you don't want to chase them.
No, I'd rather just carry on investigating. I'm sure more will pop up and fuck off.
Okay, yeah, so they are just going to, they just kind of disappear round the side of that building back into the brush.
Yeah, I think you can't see them any longer. James. Yeah.
Yeah, just like, let's just stay on our guard anyway, because this place is crawling with jowlers.
The sign did say, beware danger, plant monsters.
Yeah, that's
fair. You had fair warning.
You had fair warning.
He's got, where did you want to go to the...
Do you want to investigate this pub up the top? Yeah,
yeah, I think it seems to be the only place that has a roof.
Okay. So feel free to move yourselves up.
Is this
the
pub here?
To see. Yep, that's the one.
Yep.
Does it matter how many squares we move?
No, because you're out of combat at the moment, so you can just position yourselves as if you would want to position yourselves if you're going to open it. You can see on the drawing, so that square is the door, obviously. You can see that just there's a window, just there's a window with arrow slits.
Can I look into the arrow slits?
You certainly can.
Face first.
and I'd like to investigate the door.
Right. Millicent, you're at the window on the left, which is just there. Let's have a look. You look through that window. You do have dark vision, don't you?
Yes.
The western portion. So it looks like, from what you can tell, it looks like maybe an old kitchen. You can see like a really old, dusty stove, and you can see some against the far wall. You can see some kegs and stuff as well. So it looks like it doubled as like a cellar room as well. But other than that, you don't see anything else of interest in there.
Okay, I'll just let the group know. Does there appear to be doors in this room? And
they're opposite. Yeah, so basically, because you can't see an old one thing. But yeah, basically, directly opposite that window, you can just see a door and possibly one that looks like it's on the... where you're looking through the window, basically, there's a wall right next to it that runs up. And there's a door on that wall. And then there's a door adjoining it in the corner as well. So there's a door directly opposite you, and then there's a door sort of adjacent to that on your right.
All right, so there's another room more. Judging by the look of the building, there's another room to the right.
Yeah, because from where you're standing, you're looking through a window here.
Yeah.
And like I say,
so... And then there's another window.
There's, if I do that,
basically... Is there another window?
Yeah, so directly opposite, there's a door. And then basically where I've just drawn that arrow for you, if you can see that, there's that's basically like a wall.
Gotcha.
So you can see there's a whole other half of this building that you haven't looked at yet,
which is where
the front door is.
Yeah.
There's another window just here.
Can I have a look through that, please? If I can, if I'm tall enough.
How tall are you?
4 foot or something?
3'5".
3'5".
That's
big.
Okay, so this side of the room, basically filled with old furniture, tables, chairs, looks like a pub common room. There's a bar in there as well. Roll me a perception.
Oh, there's dice. 18 plus 3, 21.
Nice. No, there are, you can see a couple of bodies slumped against walls and on the floor, basically, which look quite well preserved. Can, you know, it's hard to tell without it properly examining them how old the bodies are, but they look like they may have been involved in a fire.
Zombies.
I could see some bodies inside, slightly crispy. I think we need to go in.
Can I now detect undead?
Well, I mean, you asked me about the door, James, so yes. Let's just look general features again of the general town. Doors. The door is it's just a wooden door, and it's swollen. Wooden doors are swollen, so it's up to you. I mean, it's just a wooden door. Do you want to try and open the door?
I think we're going to have to barge it open if we're going to think. Yeah, let me.
Why would it be swollen?
Probably because of all the evil.
Yeah.
Evil door. I cast open door.
Yeah, well, go on. Yeah, I mean, shall I
is
give
this about to turn
push?
Into Backdraft? That's what I'm worried about.
Oh, no.
How many bodies was there?
He's just seen a couple.
A couple.
Do you say there was a door around the back that we could see?
Millicent did see a door in the other room on the west side, the left side of there was another door.
Yeah, well, I'd like
there
to try
two
this.
Doors that she's
I'll try this door, shall I?
But yeah, it's either that or I'll scout around the building quickly.
Yeah. You're going to scout around the building?
Yeah, I'll head around the back just to see if there's any other. Can I move?
I've just moved you. Yeah. So around the back, there is another door around the back there.
Maybe take the back door just because we'll be slightly out of the, you know, the vision of potentially any other enemies.
Yeah. Can I see for a keyhole or anything?
Yeah, okay. That sounds like a good idea.
Nothing.
Shall we all go around and join him?
Yeah.
If you go around the whole way of the building, there is another window just round there, Pock, which if you peek through, basically shows you the kitchen room that Millicent's been looking through as well. Yeah.
Front or back? What's your preference?
Back to be a little bit off the site of the main road. Yeah.
Just a little bit of insight. I've had a message from my wife who is sat 10 feet over there. I think she sent it a while ago. She did. She sent it about 40 minutes ago. She's just sat over there playing Animal Crossing. And she says, "You're so gay for James."
How's that? What does that mean?
I don't know.
I can't blame you.
Oh, I don't know. Yeah, exactly. This is it. I mean,
it might have been. In fairness, you have said
you're a
hella
man
for about 500 times, testing the delay.
James. The weird thing is, as I'm saying it back, like, in what situation does that happen?
Yeah, I think that's what she's saying, isn't it?
That'd be so much
worse. Because he wasn't working. There was lag. I'm just explaining. There was lag, so he was out of sync with everyone.
I know, I could hear.
James, come back. Anyway. James! Where are you going? Anyway, should we break all down this door and stab these dead bodies up?
Again, door's really, really swollen. I mean, doesn't take an insight roll to work out the fact that this place is, as far as you're aware, this place has been abandoned for 30 years.
So the door
is old and it's just swollen with years and years and years of weathering and rain and storms.
Expansion.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So do you try and open the door?
I've got a feeling it is going to be like Backdraft and we're going to get sprayed with zombies' gut or something. Or
let's go for it.
Okay.
Knives.
I don't know if I've got the strength to kick the door down. Certainly try it.
As you try and open the door, you know, you turn that handle and you push it and it doesn't move, but it does give a little bit. If you want to barge it down, I will need a successful strength check.
Strength check.
Where's our hard nuts?
Oh, right. I'll do it. But
I'm backing away.
There it goes.
17. Hiya! By the power of grace.
And the door smashes open. Let me just reveal the inside for you.
I'm going to redeem my crossbow.
Yeah. Yeah, you should all have, be able to see. So inside that room, there's no on the map, you know, there's no furniture drawn on the map, but it's like I said before, it's a kitchen. So there's like some stoves against one wall, and there's some shelves, which is basically, it's all dry now, but then once upon a time we had like flowers and stuff on there, but it's all not even rotten, it's so old it just doesn't, isn't there anymore, like birds and stuff have at some point eaten it all. The kegs are kind of packed up in the bottom left corner down there, as well as a couple of beer barrels, which if you were to investigate are long since dried up.
Through to the bodies.
Yeah, shall I barge that door at all?
Go on, Tom, maybe turn the...
Let's try it first, yeah. Let's not get too excited, yeah.
The inside door does open for you.
I'll barge it.
Roll initiative.
Initiative.
11.
3. Wasn't expecting it, because we looked in and everything.
You saw two of them?
Zombies.
I thought they were village people or something. Not the band.
The village people. Why is he in there?
Oh, I didn't put them together. Why did anyone?
Young man.
Yeah, one of them's all dressed up like a Native American, and there's a builder in there and a policeman.
And they're just doing really...
You know that fight in Shaun of the Dead when they fight to Don't Stop Me Now? We're going to do that to the one at the end.
Yeah, that's brilliant. You're the bard. You've got to start it off, keep the rhythm going.
Yeah, I mean, to be
okay,
fair.
You've all put your initiative in. But what was your initiative, Bear?
11.
Okay. Did you just, you just opened the door? So they, as soon as that door opened, and they heard you barge through the other door, so they'd already started stirring. So there's no surprise for anybody at all, unfortunately.
No.
Right. Zombie time. He kind of pulls himself out.
You need to drink some water.
Core. Was it he said? Oh, you could have at least thrown in a retro. So was he said?
Don't let him touch his.
Right. Okay.
Don't let him touch your escapes.
Right.
He's charging the zombies. They're talking about.
He's not going to touch him. He's a tank.
He can try.
Yeah. 16 against your armor class escapes.
19.
So he misses you. He stumps up and he kind of like slams down at you with his zombie arms.
Yeah, what an idiot.
What an idiot. Millicent, you're up.
Oh
dear. I'm in the way, really.
Bit of a bad position, isn't it?
It is. You could potentially, for example, like you could move into the corner, ready your bow, and say, when I've got a clean shot, when James moves out the way, I can shoot. And then, it's a little bit of metagaming, but James could, in theory, on his turn, back out to open the doorway to let them kind of filter in, and you could do it something like that.
I mean, if we're claiming this line of sight that I've got right now.
Oh, absolutely. You can shoot through your opponent, through an ally. But
I actually want to cast a spell, and it's a range. It's not a range spell attack, it's just within range this effect happens. So
I'd allow it.
So it's up to 3 creatures of my choice that I can see within range. Ooh, must make a charisma saving throw.
Yeah, they ain't got a lot of charisma.
I'm casting Bane. There we go. I've done it.
So you can see.
Yeah, so I can see 4 tokens from my point of view. But what I'm going to do is assume that the one behind the door here. Yeah, I can. Because the line of sight widens.
Right.
So, but either way, I can only attack 3 of them anyway. So I'm going to go this one, and this one,
and not the one behind the door. Yeah,
because I wouldn't really be able to see him anyway.
No, so I was looking. I'm just kind of looking at your token, and I can't see the one in that top left corner. And there is one there. I can see, do you know what? Do you know why? It's because it's because on my screen they all have a little health bar. So the health bar of this one is on top of the other token, which is why I can't see it.
Oh right, okay.
That's why I can't see it. But right. Yeah, you can just about see it. Yeah.
Either way, the ones that I actually can see, those 3, will need to make a charisma saving throw.
So up to 3 creatures of your choice that you can see within range of charisma saving throw. Target fails the saving throw. Makes whenever a target that fails this saving throw makes an attack roll or a saving throw before the spell ends, the target must roll a d4 and subtract the number rolled. Okay, cool. Okay. So
3d20.
It's a DC 13. So pass, fail, fail. So we'll say the first one is the pass, and then these other two at the back fail. Yeah.
Great.
Okay.
So it means that when they attack, they have to roll a d4 and take that away from their attack or a saving throw. I'll remind you anyway.
I'm confused by that thing that I've just done. So you've seen those rolls come up in the chat.
Yeah, that's weird.
So d20 plus minus 3 equals 6 plus minus 3, which is 3. So what's this? Oh, so it's rolled it with advantage so that... Okay.
Okay.
That's why. So we'll take the first one. So it's 3 minus 1, 9. So 3 fails.
Oh, shit.
Oh,
cool.
Excellent.
Yeah. Cool. Because they didn't have advantage, so I'll just take the first roll. Okay, lovely. So Bane. So they all have to have a minus something to their finger majiggy. Right, cool. Who's next in the initiative then? One of the zombies. So
it's a good job we've got a roadblock standing in the way, aren't we?
This is it.
Yeah, I'm thinking I'm going to stay there for a minute, because once I kill that one,
quite handy, isn't it? Yeah.
Just going to stay put there, Millicent, or you're not going to move at all or anything?
No, because okay. I'm going to, yeah. I can't really imagine that that's a good spot for me.
I don't really know, like, so you can move for an ally's space, but can you make an attack? So if there's a zombie in the way, I don't think any other zombies can actually do anything. I don't think they can get in while one zombie's blocking the door.
At least be a disadvantage, I think.
I don't know the rule on that. I think I'm going to say that, yeah, you need to be able to control a 5-foot square for melee combat. And at the moment, this zombie's controlling that square. If he could get through into the room, he'd be able to pass through it. But he can't step in there, take an attack and step out.
Oh, right.
So I would say that at the moment, there's nothing he can do. He's just going to kind of stand there and ready in action just in case he does get to bite someone. That's so, fine. Scapes, you're up.
All right. Well, I want to, first of all, can I use my bonus action before my action?
Yep, you can use him in any order you like.
Okay, I'd like to hunter's mark him. Okay, cool. So I'm going to roll to hit with my plus one longsword. 18 for 9 damage.
Nice.
Plus the d6.
So,
which is an extra two.
So that's 11 in total.
Do you know what? Oh no, I've already used my bonus action, so
can you please make me a constitution saving throw? Yes, please. Mm-hmm.
Constitution 3.
Okay, lovely. So as you hit it and it kind of staggers, a big puff of ash kind of comes off it, kind of coughs, and this massive dust cloud erupts from it, and you breathe some of it in.
I am immune to...
Two.
Let me tell you. I think pretty much all sickness.
Immune to your shit.
I'll tell you what it is.
See? Let me see. Where is it? Yeah, I've got...
You're like immune to diseases or something like that.
I'm,
it's not a disease.
Oh, well, what is it? Because I'm immune to what that is.
All it says is if you fail the saving throw, then for the next minute, you gain disadvantage on attack rolls, saving throws, and ability checks. You can repeat the saving throw at the end of your turn, ending the effect on it early with a successful save. But it doesn't say if it's a disease or not. So I think it's just kind of like a magical effect that it does.
Yes, disease. I've got divine health. So.
Is a constitution save an ability roll?
No, it's a saving throw.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you get a disadvantage on attack rolls, saving throws, and ability checks. Yeah, so you wouldn't be able to use your cantrip.
Annoying.
Yeah.
Okay.
So you've now got disadvantage until you pass, but you still get to do everything you want, and then at the end of your turn, you can roll again.
Cool.
Okay. So just put a meh on you. Are you going to do anything else at all, Scapes? Are you going to stay there blocking the door, or are you going to back up and try and draw them into like a murder tunnel?
I don't know. What do people want? They're coming in, people.
Ah. I personally don't want them anywhere near me.
Well,
I think ranged attacks.
Ranged attacks.
Can they? But Can they do range attacks through me?
They can.
I'll stay there then. As long as I've got heals and stuff, I'll just stay in there. Like a brick wall.
Cool.
Yeah.
Cheers, just shield mate. Up, just blocking Thank the door. You. Fantastic. Yeah,
I was just going, oh, excuse me. Oh, no, excuse me. Oh, sorry.
You're up then, Burr.
Right, so if I'm going to do it, I can do a ranged attack from there, yeah?
You can. So basically what I'm going to give them is half cover, so it makes them slightly harder to hit. But just roll your d20 as normal, I'll tell you if you hit.
14.
Plus. Yeah, you hit.
Yeah.
That's fine.
10.
So... 10 damage.
Yeah.
Nice. So basically, read your sneak attack thingy, because I think you can use. You can get sneak attack on range attacks, but you need to have either advantage be or. I'm not sure on range attacks. So let's have a look.
All it says is two d6 extra, two times d6 extra.
Yeah, because it doesn't. I've just paraphrased it on your character sheet.
Yeah.
Sneak attack. Beginning at first level, you know how to strike something and exploit a foe's distraction. Once per turn, you can deal an extra blah, blah, blah. You hit with an attack. So if you hit with attack. If you have advantage on the attack roll, the attack must use a finesse or ranged weapon. You don't need advantage on the attack roll if another enemy of the target is within 5 feet of it. That enemy isn't incapacitated and you don't have disadvantage. So, yeah. So you've got one of... you can roll an extra d6.
An extra d6.
Yeah.
Four.
Nice. So how much damage was it in total?
10. So 14.
10 plus 4 is 14. Okay. Nice. So now I need to roll some dice. Shit. Okay. 5 plus the damage taken. So 19. I have to beat a 19. And I rolled a 5. So it dies.
Yes.
Hey.
Crack him.
Crack him.
Which one
That's
was that?
That's disappointing. Pointing. He falls over, you know, crumbs. You shoot him, and you just, you know, with zombies, have to get him in the head, don't you? And you just take your aim, shoot your crossbow, bang for an eye socket, falls over dead.
Nice.
Okay, anything else you want to do, Bear?
No, I don't think so. I think I'm good where I am.
Okie doke. So we have this fella over here then, now, who is going to. Stand up. Use because he hasn't stood up yet. So that's 10 foot. And he can't quite get you. He kind of stumbles up and then starts slowly slumping towards you, kind of pushing chairs and stumbling over. But he's not quite close enough to any of you to make an attack yet. Pock, you are up. There is now space for you to get into the room if you wanted to.
I would. I would like to do so that. They are all... I can't quite see in. I need them all within a 15-foot cube of me.
Mm-hmm.
Originating from me. Can I do that without getting an attack running past them?
No, so if you run past them, you will incur an attack of opportunity.
And that happens before or after my...
As you pass through their space,
pass through them.
As soon as you go in this space here, you're... And then
going in there's an issue, isn't it?
Yeah, so it's when you leave their attack range. Yeah, so you enter in and make an attack, fine. But if you enter in and then enter out, then they get to attack you. So
also, okay, is there a way to get all three of those in a 15-foot cube? I don't think there is.
Yeah, absolutely.
I can only see two, so I'm not sure.
You can do it from there.
Fuck it, yeah. Send me in. Could you move me to where you just said so I lost track?
You would go. You can cast your spell, but this dude gets to attack you as you swing past him. Okay.
Okay. Yeah. I'll take it.
That will be a 15 against your armor class.
That's a hit.
Okay. So you will take 4 points of damage as he slams you as you go past him.
Easy.
And then the other one. Technically, you're still within its range, so you kind of skirted around that other one. But the other one, so that's fine. And then you're going to cast, I'm guessing, the Thunder Wave.
At second level, please, which adds 1d8 on top of what it already does.
Yeah.
Nice. So each creature makes a constitution save and throw. Failed save, it will take 3d8 of thunder damage and is put 10 feet away from me.
Okay. Right, what's... the DC for the saving frame?
It is a I know the answer to this. 13.
Okay, so I have to beat 13. So first one, on the top left, saves. Second one in the middle, fails. Last one in the bottom, saves. So two saves, one in the middle, succeeds. What happens on a failure and what happens on a succession?
On a fail, the creature takes 3d8 because it's at second level and is pushed 10 feet away.
So if you roll that damage up, 3d8, it's probably overkill.
21 plus 5, so 26.
26 points of damage.
And they're pushed 10 foot away.
All right.
For fun.
Oh, I'm not.
If it hits a wall, it's another D8.
So, yeah. He just gets obliterated. Limbs get thrown from just completely taken off him, and he goes slut, and just the room, it just has, you know, like fingers and arms, and his head rolls off, and it's just so basically they have this thing called undead fortitude. So if you kill them, if you reduce them down to zero, they don't necessarily die. I have to roll a saving throw versus 5 plus the damage dealt, and if they succeed, they don't die and they still just get reduced to 1 hit point instead. So I would have just had to have rolled a 31 in order to it wouldn't have happened.
Minus 1d4 as well.
Possibly. I don't know how saving throws, I think it's the same as ability checks, like a nat 20 isn't an automatic success, I don't think. So I mean, and if I did roll, I would have rolled a 13. So, he just gets obliterated. The other two, do they take half damage?
On a successful save, the creature takes half as much damage and isn't pushed.
So they take 13 points each.
Yeah, cool. I love that.
Yeah,
I should have been a druid.
I like druids.
That was just 4 druids, just like Warcraft.
Cool.
Now, does that leave me clear to get the fuck out of that room?
No, well, I mean, you've used how much of your movement did you use? You started off.
Oh, what was that?
25 feet.
You moved 25 feet, so you've used your movement, I think.
I would Misty Step, but I don't want to piss away 2 second level spell slots this far into Thunder Tree.
I don't think you can Misty Step on your turn. Can you use an action?
It's a bonus action.
It's a bonus.
But it takes.
Yeah, you've used 20 foot to get to there, I think.
Oh, okay.
So you've got 10 foot of movement. You're probably best to. I don't know, probably best to.
I'll hide in the corner.
You do you.
Is there a. I'll. I can't get out of the room, can I? Nah, fuck it.
No, you've only got 10 foot of movement. So
I'll
if you.
Hide in the corner.
This zombie stands up from the floor where he was prone and then walks 5, 10 feet, boom, to the closest person, Pock. When you did that thunder wave, all of those zombies did emit that big dust cloud, which I forgot to make a saving throw for. So if you could do that for me, please.
Natural 20.
You're fine. Good, so you just kind of manage to hold, seeing what happened to escapes already, you manage to hold your breath, don't breathe any of it, and you're fine. Oh. That's fine. Okay, so back to where we are. This zombie stumbles towards you and goes to slam, and does so with such great force that he rolls a natural 20.
Ah, fucker.
No.
So you are going to take 9 points of damage.
Well, it could
because
be
I rolled quite badly. Mm. Could be worse. And that's it. That's the first round's done, isn't it? So, Millicent, you're up.
Okay, I'm going to take my 30 feet of movement to survey the situation. And I say, oh, fuck, there's a situation. Because half of these dudes still here.
Very, very quickly, Lecky Macron, I'm going to get to your comment in a minute. Please, if everyone can remind me, just before the break, I want to touch on something that Lecky Macron has brought up, but we'll carry on. We'll do this combat and then have a break. So we'll carry on, Lisa.
Thank you. I'll try and remind you.
You still got your bow out, haven't you?
I'm still
as you ran through the door, you've run past a zombie in this top corner who's going to make an opportunity attack against you because you've run out of his reach.
He was still alive, so if I take.
So that'll be 17 against your armor class.
That hits, I believe. Yeah.
Okay. So you will take 6 points of damage as you run past him into the room.
Okay. Should I make a concentration check first for my spell?
Oh shit! They're supposed to be. Oh no, because that's is it minus four every roll.
Minus one d4 for any attack, but that one at the top, Luke, isn't Bane, is he? He's saved.
He's not. He's saved. So yeah, he's not Bane. He did cast it, so that's fine. So that wouldn't have affected him. And the other guy rolled a natural 20, so you can't. A natural 20 is just a natural 20. So that's good. That's good. We're all right. Yeah. We're okay. I'm not cheating just yet.
The police are on the way.
Constitution save for my concentration check.
Yeah, so you've taken damage, so you need to roll a concentration check. So it's just, is it just a DC 10?
Yeah. Oh, that's a great question. Don't know. It's a 6, so I probably failed it.
So yeah, it's going to be a fail. Yeah, so Bane is concentration.
That's really annoying. I didn't know that guy
was there. Shit. So they are no longer Baned.
Okay.
Yeah.
We'll take all the fuss I went through putting that on there.
I shouldn't have come. Regretting all of my choices now. Gonna panic and hit him with the sword.
The one next to you've got your bow out, so you'd have to drop your bow on the floor.
I will do
which
that.
You use fine. Yeah, and draw your sword. Yeah. You've got a short sword now, haven't you? So roll it up.
13, I don't think that hits.
That will hit.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah, against the one fighting Pock, yeah. Roll the damage. Yeah.
Oh, 7.
7 points of damage. Still standing. One thing you'll notice when you hit it. There is no eruption of dust on this one.
Okay, I will, for the rest of my turn, I will look concerned. There you are.
Very quick question, Luke. In terms of healing potions, do they have to be taken in our initiative order in combat?
Yeah, so it's an action to take a potion.
Okay.
So you use your action to do it.
Fuck.
Millicent, are you done, mate?
I am, yeah.
Okay, this zombie is going to stumble. Well, he's already hit you once as you ran past him, so I think he will come down and attack you, Millicent. And I roll an 8.
Miss.
Misses. Scapes, you're up.
Okay, I could cure my poison, but I don't think the fight's going to go on that long. So I'd like to start by moving in so I can see what's going on.
Yeah, you've got your 30 feet, yeah.
And then I'll attack the guy to the south of me.
Do it. Roll it up.
And I've got to roll it as disadvantage, I think, haven't I?
You do. You have disadvantage, yeah. So 2d20s and take the lowest.
Yeah. 1. Oh, dear. 9.
9's your lowest?
Yeah.
That's a hit.
Oh, it's a hit?
Yeah.
Oh, jolly good.
12 points of damage with that one, yeah?
Yeah, 12 points of damage. Oh, and Hunter's Mark as well.
Okay, so add that on as well.
Yeah, because the thing is I didn't get to change my Hunter's Mark.
That's all right. You use a bonus action to change it, I think. So that's fine. If you move it,
it just goes on to it.
Yeah, I'll allow it. That's fine.
Yeah, okay. So, thank you.
So you've done 12 points of damage, and then I'll add on your Hunter's Mark damage. Yep. Another D6.
Thank you, mate. Ooh, 6.
Nice. So 18 points of damage. Okay. It dies.
Yay.
Yay.
How do you kill? You just lop off its head?
I don't want to. Yeah, lop off its head quick and clean.
Hold your breath.
Yeah, that's cool. I mean, I don't want to poke it in case it pops, you know what I mean?
No, yeah, so you just lop off its head again. No, there's no.
Very gently.
No yeah. Dust pops out of this one.
No, oh, jolly.
Is that your go over, sir?
Well, I don't.
You get to. Roll the save. If you're finished at the end of your turn, you re-roll your saving throw against the effects of the dust.
I suppose I'll do that then. 15.
Lovely, you pass. So you're no Yay. Longer under the effects of this snail-like thing.
Excellent.
Got you eventually. Sorry, right. Mate.
Yeah, I'm going to move into the room. Well, I can shoot him from there anyway, can't I?
Yeah, you crack on.
Mm-hmm.
It's fine.
I'll shoot him from there. Natural 20.
Hey. Oh, nice. Yeah. Okay, natural 20. So roll your normal damage dice.
A 1.
Oh. A 1, plus your sneak attack.
That's another D6, isn't it?
Is it just 1?
It's 2D6, sorry. Yeah, 2D6. So 1 plus 5 plus 1. 6.
So what's the running total?
6.
Okay, have you added on your modifier for the damage as well?
3. So, 9.
Brilliant. So, our house ruling on the crit is that
full one.
you get a full one. So instead of rolling the dice twice, you get full. So you're going to be doing 6, 12, 18 points of damage, plus that 9. So 27 points of damage. No way that I could pass their saving throw on the fortitude. So again, you, another one that you just shoot this one in the head and is dead.
Yeah.
In bed.
Head just explodes. The bolt goes in and bounces around his skull. Dead. Okay.
Shitty zombies.
You're inside a pub with loads of dead zombies.
Is there anything in this pub that we can... Can we search the pub?
Have a little look at that.
You can certainly roll me a perception to search the pub.
Perception.
Should we all do that?
Plus 3.
If you're all searching, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I'll have a look.
22.
Lovely. So you have a quite a good look. You kind of look behind the bar to see if there was any kind of cash box or anything left behind there. There is just nothing at all. There may be on the back of the bar, on the top shelf, a couple of bottles of brandy that bizarrely are still there, nice, well-aged, that might fetch you a little bit of coin. Or you could drink them. Who knows? Whatever you want. But no, there's nothing that you find. You search under the bar. You think, oh, there might be some treasure in here. You don't find anything of the such, I'm afraid. Okay.
Is there any of this zombie dust on the flight? Is there zombie dust around after the killings?
Yeah, so basically, like, as you hit them, they kind of cough and they spray this stuff. It only happens when they first take damage, which is why it didn't happen the second
time. Have I noticed that it's if we inhale it, it's an issue, or is it if it touches us?
Yeah, maybe.
You know, so, like, in all fairness, let's have a look. It doesn't really say, I've just kind of give it a bit of flavour of its dust that you're breathing in, but it doesn't really specify. Yeah.
Is there any way I could possibly grab a bottle from the bar, an empty bottle,
and try and scoop some in?
Scoop some up for...
I would like you... So kind of like if you're...
I've got 5 hit points. Do I want to do this?
No, that's fine. That's fine. So basically, like, I'm not sure if in the Dungeon Master's Guide, I think there is some rules around harvesting stuff from bodies, but I'll allow it. So yeah, like you scrape some of the dust off of them. You're like, they're all burnt up and ashy. And as you know, so you scrape some dust into like a bottle or something and you get a decent amount. What I'd like you to do is roll a survival to see whether or not you can successfully harvest... some of this, enough of this stuff.
Okie doke. Yeah, 2 plus 3 is a 5 in total.
Okay. So it's, you know how, like, with ash, when you're kind of touching up the ash and stuff like that, it just kind of goes... Just you can't scrape dust, can you? If you know what I mean, like it just kind of flattens into your fingers and stuff. So you do, you kind of get that, and you get your knife and stuff, and you're managing to get some in there, and you do. But roll me a Constitution saving throw.
Yeah, shit. It's a 2.
So you as you're doing it, you manage to accidentally, you kind of get a tickly nose, and you sneeze a bit, and it puffs up, and you breathe some in your face, and for the next minute, you're going to have disadvantage on everything, you can try again, and you know, if you want,
we should just wait in here a minute.
In all fairness, there's 4 bodies. There's enough ash in the place. I will allow it for you to get some, but you will have some disadvantage for the next minute.
Okay, that's fine.
No, give us a minute, lads.
I took a bit of a fucking hiding in that fight.
Did?
Has anyone got any healing potions or anything?
We've all got healing potions, haven't we? We bought one each. Yeah,
you've all got healing. I think you've got one each. You could also take a short rest in here if you wanted to.
Yeah.
Oh, rolling hit dice would be the cheapest way to recover.
It would be. A short rest is a rest of up to an hour. You've just got in there, you've been a bit battered and bruised. You've just searched the place, so that would be like within that hour, you've had a little search and you've been just grabbing up this stuff.
Yeah.
And you can roll your hit dice. We'll do that off air. Let's have a quick break, because I need a wee.
One quick one, Luke. Was it Lecky Mekon wanted to know?
Yes, so Lecky Mekon was raised a very valid point in regards to spells, magic, okay? So basically, let me see if I can find it.
Is this to do with what you can't cast two second level spells?
That's correct.
I was
gonna
say it. Thank
you. Misty Step is a bonus action. Yeah. So yeah, but it is a spell. So you can only use it on turns when you didn't cast another spell as an action. So you can use it if you use a cantrip as your attack. So basically, you can't. Whilst some spells are actions, some are reactions, some are bonus actions, you can't cast two spells in the same round. So if you cast a spell as your main action, your Thunder Wave, you can't then cast a bonus action spell in the same round. However, the exception is cantrips. If the cantrip is a bonus action, you can, but not if the cantrip's a main action and the spell was a bonus. It's a little bit confusing, something that we need to research.
One last thing.
Spell.
Go on, mate.
One last thing. Where's Droop while we're about?
Oh, yeah.
Where is Droop?
There you are. Right at the beginning. And the duck. He's with the duck. Right at the beginning, I'll add a token because I forgot. At the beginning, when I was going through the description of the buildings and stuff, I was about to blurt into Droop voice, and then one of you said something, and I've forgotten since then. So we'll add Droop to the map, and
you little toe rag.
I'll give control of him to James Escapes, since he's kind of viewing him as his Lord and Mighty at the moment. But I'll do that in the break. So awesome. Thank you very much for sticking around with us. We've got 8 people in the chat. Hello. We're going to go for about 2 hours. Hello, everybody. We'll be back in 5 minutes or so.
See you in 5.
Bye.
The D&D Show would like to thank Sword Coast Soundscapes on YouTube for the music and sound effects used in this recording. Find him on Twitter at Sword Coast Sounds. Also, a massive thank you to Lewis Gale for producing our amazing theme tune. Follow him on Twitter at LewisSWGale. Lastly, from all of us here at the D&D Show, thank you for downloading this podcast. You're breathtaking. See you in part 2.
Oh, hello there. Bird Bolt Thrower here. Excuse me one second. Oh, you bastard. Oi, Scapes, wrap up a bit of that old meat for me, will ya? Do you sometimes find yourself in the midst of battle wondering if a creature is flanked? Wondering if you meet the criteria for sneak attack? Well, look no further. Grab your player's handbook or other D&D books at langdongames.co.uk using the code DICEANDDIE for a whopping 15% off of their D&D range. That's langdongames.co.uk. Happy adventures.
Here at Pen and Slabs, we take our episodes seriously. Observe!
Natural 1.
Confounded dragon. I must prepare for next week.
Why? What are we doing next week, Bellry?
The same thing we do every week, dragon. Try to accent the world.
It's Penance RPG, G.
Penance RPG, the definition of insanity.
G.